Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 72. My name's Turner Sparks in Suzhou, China.
Wow, you've come home. My name is Michael Kaplan here in the great Long Island City, New York.
On the podcast today, we have our old friend, Andrea Jones. Excuse me, she's young, but she's been our friend for a long time.
Yeah,
Andrea.
She's going to get very upset with you.
Andrea Jones Roy is back on the podcast. We're talking about North Korea. She has an article, 538.com. But before we get to all of that, Kaplan.
Yes.
Before we get to North Korea, I want to wrap up my tour. My tour is completely over, and now I'm done with it. Last week, I think we're recording in advance. This week, I've actually done it all. The whole month is over. Shanghai, I'm happy to say, we sold out my live recording. Completely sold out show, Cap.
Oh, great job for the fans.
Thank you to the fans for coming out. Thank you. I didn't have to pump in audio laugh tracks to the club, which I was concerned about, Cap. I thought I was going to have to put in fake laugh tracks to pretend like people were laughing at me. Luckily, I didn't.
You're too modest. You knew that wasn't going to be a thing. You're the king of China.
I wasn't sure. You never know. What I did find out is Joe Schaefer actually is the king of China. There were people in the front row. There were definitely people in the front row who were there specifically because they'd seen Joe Schaefer, and like, he's a star out here, apparently. They see him in YouTube videos.
Was he opening for you?
No, they just thought I might know him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you're getting his leftovers.
Exactly. I get the runoff, the Joe Schaefer runoff. Fans.
Congratulations. Has he done a live album?
He hasn't done anything. He's done a couple sketchy videos, and all of a sudden he's a star. So
it's all about YouTube.
It's all about YouTube. So thank you. That's going to be out soon. That's in the editing. That's in post-production right now, as we say in the biz, as we say in Hollywood, that live album. So that's going to be coming out soon. And then I went up to Beijing and did a great show with those guys. Shout out to Comedy Club China up in Beijing, David Fertitta and Nigel Tu and the gang up there, and I'm done. Cap, how you doing?
Yeah, you're about to celebrate the Chinese New Year, which we just did our Chinese New Year podcast, but now you're actually in China. You're about to partake. Is it starting like tonight? Is this tonight or tomorrow?
Well, it actually started last night for us. We had a double shot. We went to a Valentine's Day and dinner with Uncle Bobo, if you remember from last year's podcast.
Uncle Bobo. Everyone remembers Uncle Bobo.
That gets pretty boozy. But I mean, because of my back injury, I'm off. I'm playing hurt.
This back injury. So I was gonna say, did you feel ready to drink with these people, or you're just laying it with this back injury bullshit?
I have back injury bullshit, and here's a $1 billion idea. I went to get $100, yeah. $100 at the hospital. I got a doctor's visit. I got X-ray, and I got an MRI for $100 total, and it turns out I slipped a disc in my back, so that's an update.
Oh, so you got this diagnosed. You never went to the hospital in America? You went to the hospital in China?
Yeah, because why? It would be thousands of dollars. Now that I got – remember they booted me out of Obamacare last year? This is a lot of stories coming together, but I got booted out of Obamacare a year ago.
Yeah.
And so now I got to come to China. But it's for the flight plus the hotel plus the doctor's visit, I think it's still cheaper than just getting an MRI in New York City.
Well, that's very Michael Moore of you. Nice work.
I am Michael Moore.
Yeah,
because I just went to a buffet downstairs and ate like 10 meals too. So,
yeah, there's your back problem. I could diagnose it right there. Got to eat better.
Is that what
enough,
it is?
Enough with the 7-Eleven and the yeah. So, you know, we're celebrating the Chinese New Year here. Teddy's off from school tomorrow. It's Chinese New Year. They're off in New York City. I didn't realize this. This whole time, we did a whole podcast and everything. I didn't realize they're off for the Chinese New Year for one day.
Wait, Teddy, does he go to school in Chinatown? He got off school for Chinese New Year?
No, New York public schools, it says in the calendar, no school. And it's home. And he's like, I don't have to do homework, just no school. I was like, what are you talking about? No school's next week, President's Week. And he's like, no, there's no school. I look on the thing. He's right. Like, I was going to bring him to school tomorrow, by the way. I didn't even know. He's right. It says Lunar Holiday, New Year. Lunar New Year Holiday. That's what it says. That means Chinese New Year, right?
Yeah, that's what that
that's
is.
The Lunar
I was asking
Yeah. They don't want to tell people it's Chinese New Year. I don't know. They just would want to use code. But anyway, that's every faith gets one holiday in New York system. So there's your Chinese one.
Here's what it is, Cap. I was talking with Yeah. It's the politically correct way to say Chinese New Year. Because you're not allowed to say Chinese New Year anymore because more countries than only China celebrate. Like, it's also in Singapore and Vietnam. So you have to say Lunar New Year. Yeah, it's like you can't say Merry Christmas.
Even when we're trying to be multicultural on our podcast, we somehow are offensive. So our whole episode last week was kind of offensive. You're telling me,
Cap, it's the war on Chinese New Year. That's what it is.
It is the war on Chinese New Year. You know, because like obviously the reason they're off because they're not off for every single religious thing. They're off for a Jewish holiday. They're off for a Muslim holiday. They're off for Christmas. So obviously Chinese is a big community. That's the reason they're off. They're not off because it's Vietnamese New Year.
I mean, that would be,
you know, God. I mean, that would,
Cap, imagine the letters we're going to get based off of this podcast from our Vietnamese audience.
Hey, I'm getting further along in that Ken Burns documentary, and I'm bringing the letters on. I'm very upset with those people.
They're going to be very unhappy with us. Speaking of China.
Yes.
Ready for this? We have a new sponsor.
Whoa, I didn't know that was that. I thought you were speaking in China. I know a great new Chinese place to try, but look at that.
No.
New sponsor, what is it?
Okay, Hello Chinese is the sponsor. It's an app. You can get it in the App Store. You can get it on Google Play, Kaplan. It's the ranked number one for Chinese learning on Google Play and in the App Store for Mandarin beginners. It's featured in over 70 countries by Apple's new apps we love. So it's an app for learning Chinese. I'm going to get it. Cap, we both get it for free. So you got to get so we can talk about it. So I'm getting on it right away.
Oh, my God. So I have to learn Mandarin. Well, and more importantly, I have to teach my kids Mandarin so I could be just like Ivanka Trump.
I was going to say, you get Teddy on it. You get Ruby on it. Hello, Chinese.
Yeah, then if they ever meet the Trump kids, they got something to talk to them about. They can talk to them in their own special language.
Yeah, exactly. And well, it's called Chinese. I don't know if it's their own special language. Excuse me, it's called Lunar New Year. It's called Lunar Ease.
Am I going to lose our sponsor already?
Yes, possibly.
We're going to wish them a happy Lunar New Year.
So here's what you learn on the app. Learn to have real-life, practical conversations quickly. Gain cultural insight behind the language. Gain the confidence and skills to speak like a native, Kaplan. They have training games. Mm. It looks fun, actually. I'm into it. You can, and here's the best part. If you use our promo code LOST, LOST, you get 15% off the premium app and the regular app.
Ooh.
15% off, LOST. And guess what else? A portion of whatever you spend comes back to us, supporting the pod. Give it a shot, man. Everyone wants to learn Chinese, at least learn a little bit. And this is the quickest, best way to do it. So get it on Google Play, get it in the App Store.
At least go to it to learn a few curse words or something. Just, you know, the basics.
And how
start
legit
with the basics
are we?
And learn the whole language.
How legit are we that we have a big time sponsor now?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think I was ready for this. We really, now I'm getting a little nervous. I'm like, this is like a real thing now.
Now it's
episode
a real pod.
72. I was, yeah. This is when we became big time. Remember, I'm going to remember this. Write it in the journal.
Write it in the journal. Also, Amazon, you can still go, back to Hello Chinese. We're going to have that banner. That banner is going to be at lostinamericapod.com. So if you go to Lost in America Pod, look for the banner, the Hello Chinese banner. It's going to be very obvious, much more obvious than Amazon. And then
has Bezos approved this? Is he okay with us putting another banner on the website?
F Bezos. Whatever. He makes enough money on his own. But if you're still on Amazon, you can still do that. That's still on our website too. We're selling out to everybody.
Yeah, just do all of your shopping on our website.
Exactly. But for real, get the Hello Chinese app. I'm fired up about it. I'm going to get my Chinese better because here's the thing. I'm here in Suzhou, and I've already gotten some comments that my Chinese is slipping because I've been gone for a year and a half.
You're rusty. A little rusty with the...
So we're doing it. All right.
Can't go home again.
You can't go home again, as they say. All right, Cap, let's get to Lost in America.
Yeah, let's play the music.
Play the music. one? We're both.
Yeah.
This is the first time ever, I think, that we're both lost in America.
Yeah, we've got a double lost, right?
Yeah, and here's the reason why. Someone alerted you, I believe. You told me there is a fake Lost in America podcast that just started.
Yeah, a fake news. We've been. I told someone about the podcast, and she tried to listen, and she's like, when are you going to be on this podcast? When are they going to get to you? I'm like, what are you talking about? There's another Lost in America.
This is ridiculous.
On iTunes.
On iTunes.
Yeah.
It just started. It's three episodes in. I mean, I don't want to promote them, but.
Yeah, I mean, three episodes. They've already jumped the shark by episode three. We know that.
They're over. We're 72 episodes in. They're three. And this is real. You guys listening now, you could Google this. Go onto iTunes, whatever. We're not making this up. This isn't a bit. This is real life, man. This is our life.
This is our livelihood that they're messing with.
Next week, we've already secured Blue Shirt is coming back on. We're getting the suits back in here. We're going after these people.
We are going to make them cease. And assist.
Yeah.
And for good measure, we might just have them killed.
We might. Well, I don't know if we can say that. I don't know if that's legal. As a podcast.
Well, you're in China, so it's legal right now.
You're right.
They have no extradition. They can't extradite.
International waters.
But, you know, this podcast seems to be, like, serious. Like, it seems to be about politics or something.
Well,
which
here's,
is terrible.
Here's,
they're going to ruin our reputation.
Here's my first problem with them. How lost in America can they possibly be? They've been in America. I read about it. They've been in America their whole lives.
They live in Pittsburgh, I think.
Do they know how to use a dishwashing machine? Then they're not lost in America. Do they know how to stand at the bank? Do they know how to buy contacts? Do they know how to recycle? I think they're going to answer yes to all of that, Kaplan.
Yeah, I know. I know people in Pennsylvania who probably know these people, and I'm sure they're not lost. They're a bunch of frauds.
They're a bunch of frauds. So
we should challenge them to some sort of contest for the name.
Yeah, I think we need a tag team match. We got to get Ange Goldstein, our friend over at Sorry I've Been So Busy. Which, by the way, shout out to you, Kaplan. You have a great episode of Sorry I've Been So Busy that just came out with Andrew Goldstein.
Yes, you should. Everyone should go listen to that podcast after listening to this to all of our podcasts. Make sure you're completely caught up.
Congratulations to
or at least
Kaplan.
Press play on all our podcasts. Then go listen to Sorry I've Been So Busy from the past week, last week's episode. It was fantastic because they had the best guest.
Kaplan makes his debut
Me.
On another podcast. Mm-hmm. His podcast.
I went looking for Bowie, and apparently she wasn't there. She's back at Ince.
Wait, maybe she's over at these other assholes, these other Lost in America people.
Oh, my God, that must be it. Those fuck. Now this is getting personal.
She probably got lost.
You can't take my name. You can't take my Bowie. She's a very important part of this team.
Do you think she got kidnapped? Do you think we're going to have to go rescue her? Like, who's that daughter in the 1970s?
Patty
Hearst. We're going to have to Patty Hearst her out of there.
And then she prefers it over there because she's Stockholm Syndrome. Is that what you're getting at?
Oh, man.
They treat her better? They have better hot sauce over there?
If they have in sauce... In Pittsburgh, PA. By the way, they have their home address up on their website, which is not a good idea. Because our fans, I'm not going to tell you what to do.
They have a PayPal address to send them donations, which, by the way, billion-dollar idea. Let's steal that from them. Why don't we have an address for people to send us donations?
Yeah, these people have two episodes up, and they're already asking for donations. Get with it!
Yeah, we didn't start begging for money until at least episode 20.
Yeah,
it, class people.
At least
build an audience.
At least we're getting build an audience. We're real podcasting professionals here.
Yeah, it's really infuriating. We're gonna once you get back, we gotta wait till you get back to the country. You know, you can't start a war when we're not at full strength right now. But when you're back in America, we're gonna go to the mattresses, as they say in the podcasting business, and we're gonna. It's not gonna be pretty for them. They're not gonna come out on top. Much like everything out of Pittsburgh, they're gonna falter.
Kaplan, you never start a land war in Asia, and you never start a podcast war from Asia. So I'm waiting until I get back.
Exactly. That's one of they teach you that in podcasting school, people. We're just letting you in a little bit. I learned that sophomore year.
But it is good. I will say I'm happy to have a new enemy of the pod. Weber, you're out. Congratulations. Weber's going to win the Oscar.
I think Randy Kaplan's off the hook for now.
Yeah.
Now that we have a real sponsor, she's off the hook.
Exactly. Randy's off. Weber's off. It's you idiots. Lost in America, part whatever you are, you're fake in America.
Don't even give their real. Don't give their real names for this week. We'll give it next week when we really want to get to. We want to make sure. We got to talk to lawyers first before they start giving out too much information about them. But you can find it if you look it up.
This is what we're going to call them: losers in America. That's our Trump influence of this show. The Losers in America podcast. Yeah. Get out of here, Cap. One last thing I want to say before we get to our guest, Andrea Jones-Roy. The Super Bowl, quick wrap up. Vantage point.
Not a last thing to say. The first thing we should have said, but the most important thing is going to happen this entire year.
Well, we've already talked about this the last few weeks, but I'll let the listeners in on a little secret. That was all guessing. We were predicting. We were recording in advance. So you amazingly not only predicted the Eagles win, but you also predicted last week that the city of Philadelphia would get burned down and they'd have to be rebuilding at Hurricane Katrina style.
That didn't make me Nostradamus. That was pretty obvious to anybody, the burning down part, not the winning part. But I did not predict that we'd be eating horse shit in the streets. I wasn't on that point, but I was pretty close. I mean, our clock management was way better than I predicted. That's what made it such an amazing moment for me. If you go follow me on Instagram at Captain America, you could see my video, my reaction to winning the Super Bowl. It was a very, very poignant moment that luckily Randy captured. And I talk a lot about it on the Starting Business So Busy podcast, actually, so.
All right, Cap, but you were there. You went to the parade in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah, I went. I was very indecisive about it. I was very indecisive about we were watching the game, but I was like, I have to go to the parade if we win. That was like a guarantee. I just didn't know how I was going to get there. And then like the night before, it was like the light bulb went off of like this podcast, I think, guided me.
Yes.
It's like the Chinatown bus was the way I went. So I went there. Have you ever taken the Chinatown bus anywhere in New York?
I did, yeah, like 10 years ago. I did.
Because, like, the trains were, like, when I say, because, like, the trains were, like, all sold out or, like, insanely expensive. It was because they knew, and the other bus companies were sold out. But the Chinatown bus had tickets. They were $12. And, like, the other bus companies all had, like, things on their websites, like, saying, like, there's a parade, delays. The Chinatown website had nothing. I was like, I don't even know if they know there's a parade.
Of course.
So I went down there, and the whole bus ride was, like, guys, like, black guys who were selling shit.
Oh.
Like guys who are selling like T-shirts for the, like this is where that comes from. When you ever like crappy like knockoff Eagle shirts and stuff, like they probably had Patriot stuff they had also made that they had to like toss, you know. So that was the ride. They know to take the Chinatown bus, and it was next time we win a Super Bowl or a championship or Sacktown wins, we're gonna do a remote podcast there because it's an incredible experience being like you know if you're in New York. Have you ever? I mean, I'm not rubbing it in, but you've never obviously in Sacramento, but in Miami, did you ever go to any? Any sort of parades or anything like that?
Well, yeah, no, not rubbing it in. I did go, I went to the 2001 University of Miami National Championship. I was at,
right,
in
I know
college
you won some titles in college.
For football. I also went to the 2003 Florida Marlins, the Miracle Marlins Championship in Miami. And parades are amazing.
So, yeah, I'm definitely going to say, well, this is going on a limb and saying this is bigger than the Marlins parade.
It probably was.
It was like, I've been downtown New York when the Yankees have won, and I've been in L.A. Like, and it's like a section of the city is concerned about it, and the rest of the city is, like, going on with their life.
Yeah.
This was, like, the entire city of Philadelphia. It was, like, in an outdoor block party.
I can imagine.
And it was freezing out, and yet everybody, like, you could not walk. There's people everywhere, like, bumper to bumper, all, like, double-fisting drinks. There was no open container laws.
That's the best.
All people with, like, crazy costumes, crazy signs, it was an experience that you did not feel like American, like to the point it was like kind of jarring. Like when I came back to New York that night and I was like in Port Authority, the bus terminal, it's like weird to like see people and be back in like a real world.
It's the feeling of going to another country. And then when you come back to the U.S., you're like, whoa, this is weird. Like, it's reverse culture shock.
Yeah. And it was like, that's what I felt like I have to do this as an adventure, but like, what's the way to make this the weirdest? I think the bus is the way to do it. 'Cause you like really, it's just like a total like vacation mode for like 10 hours.
Fantastic.
So it was an interesting day and a lot of drunk, like trashy Philly girls, like causing scenes, a lot of drunk, trashy Philly guys I really felt lost in America in the sense that I'm a Philly fan to my core, but I'm never in Philadelphia anymore. So I'm just not, it's just like a different crowd of people. Like I was very like observed. 'Cause like, I don't even know what joke would work here. Like, I don't know what I could say. So
you didn't connect with the culture, Cap. You've changed.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So I'll post, there were some great, I was more just in a, like, let me just appreciate the moment mode. And next time we win a title though, we're going down there.
All right.
You're an adopted member, and when you go down to Philly in a few weeks for your show, you're going to see the city is a buzz right now.
I'm excited.
It's a great feeling.
March 3rd, I'll be in Philly. Come out to that, Comedy Underdogs. All right, Cap. Wait, I forgot. Before Andrea, Ince is an app. Ints. Yes. Still on board. You can get it in the App Store. I'm excited. We're going to get back to the Ints studios next week. Ints is up to 5.
I mean, I feel like the Ints crew is like, you know, they're the forgotten firstborn right now. We're just rolling in new sponsors left and right. And
I know.
They're feeling neglected. We got to show them some love when you get back in town.
We will.
Take your come out for an ice cream sundae or something.
Good idea. You can get it. It's up to 5-minute audio recordings, voice messages. You can record your music. You can send it. It's a social media platform, so you can connect with friends, talk back and forth to them. Whatever you want, man. Get Ints. It's in the App Store. It's on every platform you can think of. Let's do it. All right, Andrea Jones-Roy, come on in. We're back with our guest, Andrea Jones-Roy.
Hi.
Andrea, welcome back to
the
show.
Thank you for having me back. It's nice to be here.
Thank you for doing it.
Yeah. Third time's a charm.
Well, Cap's referencing, which none of you would have known if Cap didn't just say it. Oh, no, third time.
No, I meant she's a third time guest. Ah! I was talking about
I was like, all right.
It's only our second sound time. This is our second go at recording
this episode. This is my fourth recording and my third appearance.
We just talked for 10 minutes and I didn't record the pod.
Yeah.
But 2018. Now, we're starting again.
Yeah, that's right.
So you we talked... North Korea a few weeks ago with Jonah Kessel. Now you have more. We have more to talk about.
It was a very popular episode. A lot of people thought it was interesting. They had questions, and we brought you in for some answers.
The people demand more North Korea.
We want answers. We're all doomed is my answer.
So you have two projects you're working on at 538.
Right.
Let's start. Well, tell us what those are, and then we'll pick which one we want to start with, and we'll go into it.
So I'm doing two projects at 538 on North Korea. The first one is on sanctions and whether the U.S. sanctions against North Korea will work as a deterrent, why maybe they haven't been as successful as we hope they have, or whether they have been successful and we just don't know the counterfactual. And it builds from some political science stuff that I can talk about at length. And then the other one is about Kim Jong-un himself, how rational he is. Is he rational? And if so, how can we predict the sorts of things he might do next? And the short answer to that is, suppose we do think he's rational, and I actually think there are reasons to think that, we can look at the other people in his leadership who are influencing what he's doing.
Okay.
I think people aren't paying attention to that.
Here's an idea.
Go for it.
Why don't we start with the other one?
Okay.
So that we can just talk about the other. All right, let's start with the sanctions.
Yeah.
Start with sanctions, and then we'll decide he's rational or not.
Yeah.
We'll figure out if he's rational later on.
Yeah.
So sanctions, would they work? That the question that you're trying to figure out is would sanctions with North Korea work?
Yeah, and it's sort of a response to. I mean, every time, it's sort of not happening right now because Trump and Kim are just sort of yelling at each other, or hopefully that's all that's been happening in the last couple weeks before this airs. But over the summer and, you know, 6 months prior to that, 6 months prior to that, it seems like every so often North Korea blows something up or threatens to. The U.S. and or the U.N. come along and say, we need heightened sanctions. And then the media goes insane talking about whether more sanctions are going to work, whether they're not going to work and we should do something else, or maybe they could work if only we did harder sanctions. And so there's sort of like this cycle every time.
But we have sanctions, right?
We do. We have a lot of sanctions, and then...
Aren't they starving anyone? Like, how much starving can they be?
Right.
Well, do you know what I mean?
You can always seem more starving.
So sanctions... Yeah. So sanctions can take a lot of forms. Some of them are like these... In the olden days of sanctions, it was like these blunt force things where it's just like, yeah, no more trading with anyone and everyone starves to death. Now it's more often...
Good old days.
More targeted and what the U.S. government likes to call smart sanctions. Yeah, exactly. Smart sanctions, which is it just ideally sanctions one particular sector or a couple of top leaders or something like that. So you're not actually harming everyone.
But oh, Cap, you had an idea. Like, so the idea is you sanction...
Right. I was saying that we need to... The problem is they sanction things like food, like things that affect the poor people.
Exactly.
And it doesn't affect the people at the top because they get food anyway.
Exactly.
They have their own sources. But we need to sanction the things that only these crazy autocrats like love.
So people are saying like luxury goods. Like, yeah.
Like
their financial
like
assets.
Like giant paintings of themselves.
Yeah, you know.
People who can draw
the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, yeah. Like
Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
Sanction on Rodman would put a tariff on him.
What if we just stopped the NBA? Do you think that would work? I mean, the U.S. would never go for it, but I wonder if
stopped
that would
it in America?
Yeah.
I don't think that's the solution.
I didn't think it might be.
You gotta keep going.
Yeah.
No, because then they win. Then the terrorists win.
Yeah, that's true.
Or whatever.
We gotta keep shopping and keep playing
basketball. But yeah, we just have to think of all sorts of things that they, like, you high price Russian call girls.
Yeah.
What else can they?
Russian hookers. They're into. I think they're into. Oh, high end liquor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I once bought North Korean liquor. It was awful. I went to the border. Have you done this? like the
North Korean
tour?
Liquor? Yeah. I've been skiing on the border.
Oh yeah, right.
But I have not bought the liquor.
I did like the DMZ tour when I was in South Korea, where you walk into the UN.
But see, you violated the sanctions. There. You're supposed to not be buying things.
I know. I know. Not only that, but I like smuggled so much. It wasn't until I got back to my island, I was like shoving it into my
North Korea, the new Cuba,
that
where they have like, oh, the cigars are amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what do they have?
I bought all this. It was like a gift shop in there. Like it's the only place like in the world you can buy North Korean products outside of North Korea.
You're not supposed to buy North Korean.
Well, I bought. I was like, I'm a little bit torn, but I was like, fuck it, they can have my $12.
This is the problem with sanctions. It's like the Cuban embargo. It makes things sound cool. Like now you're like, everyone's like, I want to buy North Korea. Like, what do they even sell?
But really bad liquor.
That's
it.
You become very cultured if you have it.
It was like blueberry liquor and something else, and I dragged it all the way home, and I tried a bunch, and it was horrible.
That is a cool gift for somebody, though.
I wanted to
imagine if you have someone over to drink, and you open up your like bar, and you're like, you guys want some scotch? You want some North Korean?
Like, it's not even like a kind of liquor, just North Korean liquor.
It's a mix of everything.
It's just a potpourri.
I can tell you why it's bad. Yeah. Because if you're not like he makes it or someone in his group makes it, and then if anyone tells him it sucks, they get killed. So
Well, or it's like in prison, like toilet wine is all you have, so you drink toilet. You know.
Yeah.
Like, do you think it makes you like a little bit brainwashed though? Think it has any effects?
I'm very pro Kim Jong Un, but I don't know.
Yeah. See. Exactly.
I've been drinking it every. But I wanted. This was in grad school. I wanted to have a North Korea party. Where I invited all my friends over and like serve just that and like one bowl of rice for everyone. Like, and everyone was like, "We're not gonna."
And you have to have like propaganda videos on the
screen. Yeah.
Give everyone a bowl haircut.
Yeah, when this comes out, let's have a North Korea party.
You could get Dennis Rahman to show up for that, the same way John Wallace came to my birthday party. I'm sure Rahman's cheaper.
You can pay Dennis Rahman $1,500 to go to your North Korea party. That should be the Lost in America Christmas party next year.
That's
the holiday party.
We'll have Dennis Rahman come.
Yeah, we'll do a North Korea event.
Right. Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. But so sanctions. Two things about sanctions. Here's what's interesting about them, I think, is that generally speaking, not just about North Korea, if you look empirically at sanctions that have been initiated in the world and the outcome of those sanctions, like whether they worked empirically, it turns out, number one, the U.S. has issued the vast majority of them. Like, we do it and
well,
not
because
a
most
lot
of
other countries
other...
don't do it.
Right, because most of the other world doesn't want, they don't have a backbone or they don't care. They want to do business with these countries.
Or it's like, if Macedonia sanctions you, you're like, oh gosh, there goes my $10.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Sorry, Macedonia. But like that sort of thing, right?
But that was the problem with like stuff in the Middle East sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like the Europeans are doing business, or Russia's doing business. It's like pointless.
So right now with North Korea, you've got Russia and China is like a big problem. The fact that they're
That seems to me like that's like the big issue because like,
yeah.
Nobody wants any North Korea shit, really, other than you. It seems like it could be easy to blockade
it's
them.
It's an acquired taste.
Yeah.
But then the other piece of the empirical part is that it turned out that very few of these sanctions, even the ones that the U.S. was issuing, in many cases for the reasons you're just saying, weren't working. So the U.S. puts in a sanction, and then you wait a while, and did the target country change their behavior or give in? No. So most of the time, Cuba is another example where they just seem to not work, and we just keep doing. So then the question is, why do we even put sanctions in place in the first place? And to me, what I think is the most interesting finding, and there's reasons why they don't work. One is you can still trade with other people. Another is you find workarounds. So one thing that North Korea does that I think is awesome is they trade.
I really love this government.
I'm sorry. Awesome. That's, last time I think.
Pro NoCo.
Yeah. That can be the.
All NoCo.
All NoCo.
Is they get ships and they put different flags and they disguise themselves as different countries so they still just trade. And they're just like ships sailing in the whatever.
Which
or they
flags
just get
they
new
do?
Names that
what
are not North Korean names.
Are they like they go
just,
with like
it's
fake
very easy to get around these sanctions.
What kind of flag? You
can Narnia, just I think.
Yeah.
Narnia. They don't like go Antarctica. ISIS flag though. Like you're smart about it. They go
they go like Japan.
Japan up.
Yeah.
To make gateway.
But the other piece of this that's I think awesome is that it turns out that sanctions work when you don't see them. Okay? That's like the big takeaway, which is that it's the threat of a sanction that can get a country to back down. And so the sanctions that you see are the ones that country A is like, hey, if you don't change your behavior, I'm going to sanction you. And country B is like, I don't care. That's not that bad. And they keep doing it.
Yeah.
And country A initiates the sanction and you don't see them change their behavior. Of course not, because the threat wasn't bad enough. But if country A is like, I'm going to sanction you if you don't change your behavior and it's a really bad threat, then that person will be like, oh God, and they change their behavior. And we never actually see that sanction come into place.
But what about this idea? That you can only threat and have it work if you've done it in the past.
True. Yes.
Right?
Yeah, there's reputation.
If you're all talking no action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they're not going to back down ever.
Yeah.
Right? If you're like, oh, I'm going to get you one day. If you put them on double secret probation, there's nothing that could ever happen.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
Why
you
need a tough talking commander in chief.
Exactly.
So following through, Ding, exactly.
Who's got a big button? We're gonna get to the. I want to get to the button later. I got questions about that.
But I have a whole. Yeah, it's all button.
Yeah, we got a lot of button questions.
Yeah, it turns out size of button is everything.
So do you?
The empirical result. It's irrefutable.
I like how the size of the button is directly corresponds with the size of the nuke.
Yeah.
No, because every year
you have just a wall that you have to. Like,
right. No, back in the peak of the Cold War, before we disarmed a lot of our weapons.
Yeah.
Like Reagan had a button. It was like the entire room. And then they had to bring in a new button when we had less weapons.
Yeah.
Still big. But, you know.
Which is against all other technology, which like gets smaller as it's more advanced. Yeah. It's just like Mars is our button.
Yeah, like button gets bigger.
Like, Apple could design one that you wouldn't even have a button. It would just be like
Apple button.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's iPhone
like
has no
it's
button.
It's like
left.
I have a swipe and then I nuke someone.
Meanwhile, Matt Lauer, his button was just off the
Is that real? Okay.
But a lot of people had them. At NBC. Sure.
This is what Kaplan said. This is Kaplan's an apologist.
Really? Oh,
and so he's on this whole everyone had him.
Because that's a sensational story. I mean,
sensational.
Yeah. I mean, you have a button, I've heard.
Yeah.
In the end studios.
Yeah, you're right.
You don't want guests to leave.
I've been trying to leave for days.
Yeah.
I'm a big timer at ends.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you think that sanctions will not work?
So it's if we're seeing the sanction. So the way if you look back at like how the interplay between the U.S. and North Korea has been going, or the U.N. or whatever, is that the U.S. is like, we're going to heighten sanctions. And then the U.N. is like, says, okay, they agree to it or not. But if they suppose they do, then they all have a big vote and they agree. And it's very public about what the sanctions are going to be. And then North Korea doesn't change its behavior. And then they initiate the sanctions and then nothing happens. And then 6 months later, they blow something else up. What I think we're missing is that anytime we see that sanction implemented, North Korea has had plenty of advance notice that that's the sanction that's coming for them.
Right.
And then they've chosen not to change their behavior in advance of that sanction being implemented. So even if it does hurt them a bit, it doesn't hurt them enough to make them acquiesce. And so as long as we see like UN resolutions and the US actually implementing sanctions, those sanctions I think are not going to be enough. Oh. It's going to be when they threaten a sanction that's truly bad enough that we never actually see them have to implement it. Like that's. So
I mean, I feel like a nuke.
Well, I mean, if they
didn't
cut
we
off,
threaten a nuke?
Yeah.
But I mean, if Russia and China cut off like oil or something,
yeah,
like, that stop. So, I mean, then it's like this, you have the stomach for it. But wouldn't like a lot of the country would just.
So there's two.
No heat. They would,
like,
you know, they would have no.
Two big problems, right? One is the sanctions haven't been harsh enough,
right?
And like, and if they were harsh enough, we'd never have to see them. That's part one. Part two is, well, why haven't they been harsh enough? And number one, Russia and China keep trading with you. You find workarounds. It's not hurting
allegedly.
You. It's hurting the population. No,
we have a lot of China government listeners.
That's true.
We'll say Russia. Let's just say Russia.
Here's something else that someone I talked to when I was working on this project said to me, which I thought was very smart, which was China is also playing a game where they have to seem stoic and resolved to their own domestic audience. So if China is saying, I'm not going to just follow the United States in sanctioning North Korea, China now has to, for the same reputation reasons you just identified, China has to now follow through on that and not sanction North Korea because they've said that they wouldn't. So if you find a sanction that would work, which would involve Russia and China cooperating, even that sanction has to be not public.
You have to make them act like it's their idea.
Or make it act like it's their idea. Because otherwise you're never going to.
But why
would they do
why
it?
Why do they care? Because North Korea
is annoying to them.
Is it? But if North Korea nuked America, on the doesn't that help China?
No, because everything's being stable helps China because the economy.
Yeah.
China trades with America.
Do we know if North Korea being crazy is hurting China's economy at all? Like, are people traveling there less or anything?
To China?
That's a good idea for an article.
I know.
I don't know. I doubt it's hurt. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
But that's what this podcast is for.
I definitely don't know.
Well,
so
I was like,
I don't think it's hurting China. I think that.
Because I went a couple weeks ago and flights were very cheap, and I was like, maybe it's the North Korea effect.
Mm.
That would be cool.
It was Japan, too.
Well, then keep it up.
Keep it up, Rocky Man.
The other idea is that with sanctions, like, I would say with Cuba, the best thing that ever happened to Castro was that we sanctioned him for 50 years.
Exactly.
Because then his country's shit, but he can blame it all on America.
Exactly. That's the other big piece.
The minute we lift the sanctions, he actually has to start doing stuff
because
he can't just blame it
on
America.
And not only that, so right now, Kim, for sure, is playing that card with, like, the U.S. sanctions. They're like, why is the U.S. trying to hurt us?
The one thing, though, is, like, North Korea is such a level of propaganda that's even past what any other Cuba Soviet Union had ever done with their people and how they're educated. That, like, what's it even matter, though?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to blame us no matter what.
Exactly.
So why don't we do it?
Well, because that's what I agree with.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, they,
We can't just be like bowing.
They think they
to
won the Korean War. They think like, you know, they learn all sorts of crazy
things.
They
win the Olympics.
Well, so it's one thing that like, so the sanctions like can make the U.S. like the scapegoat for that, and that's like useful. But you're right. That wouldn't go away if we just stopped sanctioning them. But another thing that does happen is the autocrats get to concentrate the wealth even further because there's less money going into this country, and so economically, sanctions can help authoritarian countries as well, because as long as these things aren't coming in from a market, the government is in charge of handing out all the rice and resources, and so they have more power economically. So same with Fidel Castro, but can actually centralize their rule ideologically, but also economically, which can make things far
what
worse.
What do, because you know how like escaped Cubans, or Cubans who've left Cuba, who are now living in America, but are Cuban, like from Cuba, they love sanctions.
Right.
They loved.
They love the embargo. Yeah.
Yeah, they love the embargo. Do we have any info on North Koreans?
We gotta get some North Koreans on this.
What do they think?
Well, that's our next step. Jonah was a big get, but the next big get is to get a North Korean who's escaped.
We need them on the pod.
Yeah.
You should go to those North Korean restaurants in Beijing where they have those people come and like. I don't think they'll talk to you.
They have those?
Yeah. Whoa. It's super crazy.
What's North Korean food like?
That's the next mistake.
Not a lot of spices, I'm assuming.
Not a lot of spices. No. Yeah.
This is some rice.
They just have North
Koreans. That's it. It's not cooked. It's just, no.
Yeah.
This is some rice. This is a
there's
special
cigarettes.
Cereal.
North Korean cigarettes. I can get on nothing but
alcohol.
The finest
I'm in.
Products, yeah.
And you have a cocktail that you've created for the restaurant with your booze.
Yeah. Well, it's so tricky because it's like...
And we don't have time for that, but...
The examples of sanctions that have worked in the past, like Iran comes to mind, people talk about South Africa, are these like very targeted, very concentrated sanctions that were only like, enacted for a short amount of time. And then ideally something changes. But both Iran and South Africa are full of problems, right? And like these little things, the same thing that's hard about turning any country into like a post-revolution success. I mean, there's so many ingrained political actors and systems to change that it's unlikely to turn into major reform.
Yeah, and in South Africa, the thing was they would get like musicians to stop playing there and stuff.
Yeah.
Which you can't really do in North Korea because all we've got is
Dennis
Rodman. Literally,
man.
That's
he's
like the Linda Ronstadt in this scenario. She played...
Did that work? So, did the musician thing really?
Well, it was like airlines and stuff too, but it was more like culturally stuff.
There was things with like Coke or Pepsi. One of them like was there. Mean, they would like
But
industry.
Nothing's there right now, anyways. What you're
and
saying?
And if you could imagine version, right? It would be like we'd cut you off from like a lot of the stuff that makes you a legitimate part of the international community. But so it's the same kind of debate the U.S. used to have about China, which was like, do we try to contain or engage? This was like in the 90s before China took over everything. Yeah. And I feel like that's the same kind of debate we're having about North Korea at a much more farther extreme.
But China wasn't threatening
us. Engaging with them the same thing as bowing to them? You know,
we've
tried various.
Like our next generation is just going to teach English in North Korea.
It'd be amazing.
Be a future podcast.
Apparently, the language is quite different now between North and South Korea, which I think is cool. Like North Korea is like much more kind of old timey.
They don't say Gangnam Style.
North Korea doesn't have.
Can we make a North Korean Gangnam Style parody? I would.
They don't have words for lots of things. I'm imagining like.
Email. You know,
like internet.
Food. Stuff like that. I don't know.
Freedom.
Yeah.
But
so related to the sanctions thing is the other project on.
Yeah.
Here's.
Wait, can we finish the sanctions?
Yeah.
So what do you. You might say this, what do you think should happen?
So according to the. I think that we just need to implement stronger, harsher, like threats of sanctions that we never actually see. And according to some of the people I talked to, this means targeting specifically like Kim Jong-un himself and freezing things like financial assets and your ability to like actually engage and like get money from other countries and that sort of thing.
Why
and, like,
wouldn't we just have done that already?
I don't know. And nor do I know exactly what's going on in real life sanctions. But
that
if you,
might
unless
actually
you, yeah.
be happening now? Or
yeah. But part of the solution is connected to the next piece of this, which is targeting the people that Kim Jong-un has to keep happy, I think is like the real ticket into this.
To stay in power.
To stay in power.
It's clearly not his uncle because he rocket launched into him or something.
Yeah.
Didn't
he's executed a number of family members.
He executed when he first came to power and they were like all doubting him. He executed like everybody.
He hit it with an anti-aircraft gun.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Way out in the field. Right.
A close range.
Well, between that and the Malaysia airport one, the Kuala Lumpur like poisoning.
Oh yeah.
How crazy that was. Yeah.
So what? So okay.
That's
so
the best part of this the dictator gig is you don't just kill people like boring ways.
Yeah,
yeah,
you
have to
be
like
cool
really
about
evil about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's Dr. Evil
Did
stuff.
I say cool? I shouldn't have said cool. Or something like that.
So it's all right. You've said far worse so far on this podcast.
I need to change my identity the minute this goes out. So just alert me to that so I can go.
So who does he have to keep happy?
So no one knows. That's the problem. But the idea here is...
George Soros.
No. Is something called...
Roger
Ailes. The Koch brothers?
The Koch brothers,
It's all...
We blame them for everything else.
Koch brothers.
Yeah.
So I bet.
What if it is? That would be amazing.
Big scoop here.
Yeah.
I literally don't know anything about them. I just know that everyone hates them.
Yeah.
That's it.
They did build Lincoln Center.
We
though.
Could
Check
pay for like a sponsor a billboard that blames the Koch brothers. For the just to see.
I mean, people know as much about. Yeah.
Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Bannon. They're all in it together.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That'd be great. But so the idea, this is going to get boring for a second. The idea is something called selectorate theory, which is that all leaders, whether they're democratic leaders or the most great authoritarian leaders you've ever heard of, have to keep at least somebody happy in
order
to stay.
Great dictator?
I did say great. I said great. I said that and I was like, keep going. Just steamroll it. And then there's
the Putins,
true leaders.
The Trump. Is Trump a great dictator? Is a great dictator like one who was really
the
a Mount successful
Rushmore.
At being a
yeah.
dictator?
Oh, my God. Now we're talking. Because
Trump's
yeah.
kind of like in his mind.
And then you've
like
got the Mao
dictator.
Zedongs of the world.
Is Mao a great dictator?
Or just like, the greatest.
Okay.
We cannot answer that on this podcast.
Never mind.
All right, so keep going. The greats.
So the great dictators.
The great dictators.
Like, still need to keep somebody happy, voice. Right?
Yeah.
So Trump needs to ostensibly keep half the population.
Right.
You're calling him
he is elected.
He's a Democrat. On the Democratic side, like, a Democratic president needs to keep half the population happy that they vote him back into power, right?
Right, sure.
Or less than half in the case of Trump, but whatever, right?
As long as you can get no one to vote.
Right.
Yeah.
That's also key.
Yeah. And then... on the other side of it, dictators need to keep some, what they call a winning coalition, happy. So democratic leaders have winning coalitions, too. In the United States, it's 51% of the popular vote or whatever percent of the electorate, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Dictators need to keep someone happy. Sometimes it's like in China, it might be like the Politburo Standing Committee, right?
Shout out.
Or, yeah, hey.
They're big listeners.
Big sponsors, yeah.
The top 12 or 10 or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think,
people in China.
Yeah. And in other countries that have like party rule, but they're still authoritarian. Like, it's been the same party. You need to keep some other like party elite in power. And so my argument, and I'm not the first at all to make this, is that surely Kim Jong-un has some set of people who he has to keep happy to stay in power. And this theory is predicated on the fact that everyone has someone. And sometimes it might be your brother, if Raul Castro or something like that.
Yeah.
Or it might just be
Tyler Sparks,
the head of the Miller, the head of the Millers, the head of the military, or whoever, like one guy, whatever. Right. Yeah.
Dennis Rodman could be in this case.
Could be Dennis Rodman. And the example that I was told when I first started studying this stuff by a professor at Michigan was there's some democracy where you like in Africa, where you like some village where everyone votes by casting a stone. You put a stone in this basket, you put a stone in that basket. And then he was like, who's the winning coalition in this case for the person who wins based on whatever basket gets the most stones?
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know, half the people who put the stone in. He was like, no, the guy who counts the stones. Like, that's the guy you keep happy. So corruption, so all these sorts of things. So whoever it is, there's someone out there.
Who's counting his stones?
Who's counting Kim Jong-un's? That's like, what color is your parachute? Yeah. Like, who's counting your stones? Who moved Kim Jong-un's cheese?
Okay, so then what are you?
She's got to keep a chef happy.
So basically, we need to go poison those people? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, or sanction them.
Sanction them.
Yeah. Mm. And but the other thing that this is connected to is like, what does Kim Jong-un actually after? And part of figuring out what an effective sanction or punishment against him would be, short of nuclear weapons, is figuring out what would actually hurt him.
Shout out.
And so we talked about like maybe financial things, but maybe there's something else. Maybe he's trying to please these top people by throwing a bunch of money in the military budget, and that's why they're building up a nuclear arsenal. Maybe he has to please them because they're all convinced that nuclear weapons are the way forward. So as long as, if we can figure out what those guys want, we're doing have a much better job of figuring out what's actually going to hit a nerve. I feel like this is just straight from, what show am I thinking of? Like Luther or something, where it's like the number one way to get to someone. Oh, Sherlock is to like attack the people they care about.
I only watch How I Met Your Mother.
Okay, it's not in that.
Are you
kidding?
Is that an honor?
I just tried to pick the most ridiculous.
Isn't that show?
No, but you know what I'm saying, Turner? Like, if I was really trying to get you to do something you didn't want to do, the first thing I could do is be like, well, I'll shut down your Bitcoin account, or I'll like rob you. But then I could actually like hurt your family and your wife.
You kidnap their kids.
Yeah.
That's what they do in all the movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Taken, right?
Yeah.
That's the first thing?
That's
to get you to do what you want to do or not do?
I mean, the first
step. To do what you want. You kidnap the kids.
Yeah, the first step is like, I'm like, Turner, if you don't, you know, do whatever, I'll.
Yeah, you'd be okay with that?
Well, if it's like a weekend. I need some break. Thank you. Babysit. Free babysit.
Isn't that another thing where he was like, pay this ransom, and he was like, too high. I'm not paying. Like, I don't care that much.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah,
if you don't care about him. So,
I mean, that's basically what the sanctions have been so far, is they're just like, you with your kids over the
so
weekend.
So we got to kidnap. But, who do we got to kidnap, is what you're saying?
No. But here's, Cap was joking, but to back up his point, I feel like Kim Jong-un wouldn't give a shit about anyone.
Yeah, that's the thing.
If you're like, we're going to kidnap your uncle, he's like, yeah, I'll fucking shoot him in the head while you're at it. Who cares?
I mean, one thing none of us know is like what the U.S. government, like intelligence, actually knows about what the hell is going on in North Korea. Because all we hear about in the media is Kim Jong-un and then like the people, right, who are out there starving to death. But there's a lot of elites there. And I think it's clues that he's killing some of them. Is a sign of like, oh, that person could have been a threat to his power, or could, because the other issue is you want to keep your supporters happy, but you also need to keep out people who might replace you, right? And so maybe he's executing people who are a threat to him.
But that goes to the thing that you're saying, he's rational in his executions.
Yeah.
But the biggest threat to him was probably the people right around him who wants to take his seat, right?
So every leader has two threats, right? External, other countries that could blow you up, and internal.
Wait,
but they're not, right.
I have an idea.
Go for it.
Why don't, instead of trying to kill the people around him, why don't we try to siphon off one of them?
Sure.
We pay that guy to double
it's
agent.
Extremely
I'm
hard
sure
to
that
get
happens.
It's extremely hard to get into North Korea.
You pay him in Bitcoin. Hello.
Hello. Crypto
can't be traced. Dark web.
Wait, but how would you communicate? It's very hard for
South Korea and North Korea just opened up their, we're solving this right now. They opened up their phone lines.
Dark web.
I think we need to ents that the...
There you go. So they use ENTS.
That's amazing.
ENTS to bring down barriers. They're not these countries. Iran, they ban Instagram, stuff
the
like
REN
that.
Solution.
No one's banning ENTS because the people in the streets, ENTS Revolution.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So
ENTS Revolution, isn't that? Okay.
Yes. Dance Revolution.
Because, I mean, usually, I mean, you know, from what I know about dictators.
Cap, you're an expert.
Yeah, go on.
I'm an expert.
Yeah.
They usually, when they start killing people off, though, it's not. They usually just because they're paranoid, crazy people.
That could be.
You know, so it's hard to know what, like, so Stalin killed a lot of people who are good communists, but, you know.
I mean, that goes back to the...
There's good people on both sides.
Yeah. I mean, he was just, you know.
A lot of shades of gray, I think.
You know, so I'm assuming that just because he kills someone doesn't mean, I don't know. I don't know how we solve this is what I'm really trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, if the three of us in this room today can't figure this out, I don't know who can. No, but that's so that gets to the deeper question that everyone's freaking out about is, like, is this a rational actor that we're dealing with? And... the easy answer is, no, he's crazy. To be a dictator of a country or even want to be president, you have to be sort of crazy. And you're extremist, you're an egotist, you're a narcissist, you're all these things, right? But if you look at just how you define rational, which is not actually doing something that makes you actively worse off, given the information that you've got in front of you, I don't know that I've seen him do things that necessarily are making him worse off at this exact moment. Like he's blowing stuff up, they're running tests, but until... the point of a recording, he hasn't actually attacked anybody. I don't know.
I guess it makes what you're saying. Yeah, because pick like some random, like Swaziland.
Yeah.
Just pick an African, some country that we never consider.
Yeah.
Right? As Americans. Sorry, Swaziland.
Yeah.
But
all
I'm just
the
saying.
Swaziland, here, that's the Swaziland listenership just hanging out right now.
Oh, yeah. They're freaking out. They're writing their congressman as you speak. But
we have to do a Swaziland.
If one of them just got nukes, all of a sudden we'd be forced to deal with them.
Right.
That's kind of what North Korea does.
No, I remember when I was like in second grade. But shout out to my teacher, Mrs. Miller. And I said to her, I just repeated my dad something he would say. He'd be like, the Ayatollah would start World War III to get himself in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's essentially what you're describing here.
Yes.
And that sounds like Donald Trump as well.
Right. Donald Trump is, that's why they're such kindred spirits.
Yeah.
These two. They could like,
yeah.
But that's exactly what he's accomplishing, except it's all fun and games until, I don't know.
Until he gets nuked.
If we actually nuke them, then
I don't know that any of this has been fun in games so far.
What about this idea that Trump is actually... I was talking to a friend who works with our military in the South Pacific, in Asia.
Okay.
And she's talking
to one of your sources.
She's contracted
with
him. Unnamed source. But she was saying that because Trump is so irrational, this changes the subject a little bit, but because he's so irrational, it's actually like the best policy against North Korea because they can't predict what he will do.
Yeah.
And so they're on their heels as opposed to they could predict what Bush would do, what Obama would do.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. Like every
president
that we've ever had, I think if like North Korea actually fired a thing, they would immediately fire back and nuke them.
Yeah.
But every president we ever had would also never fire first.
Fire first. Which
but they
Trump
don't
might
know
do.
For sure Trump, like, that Trump won't do, which does.
I mean, if we don't know it, they don't know.
One thing I think we all know for sure is that if North Korea fires, Trump will fire. Like,
of course.
I think that's not.
But I mean, I'm saying
that
any other president
would have
done
that
too.
Right.
But Trump might just get drunk one night and fire.
Not even drunk.
Or he doesn't drink.
He doesn't drink. Right.
Which is insane that he doesn't drink.
Yeah.
It'd probably be better.
I mean, honestly, I'm more worried about Trump than I am about Kim Jong-un.
I'm not.
Really?
No.
Go on.
Well, because we have a bigger button, so.
No, I think that what you guys are saying, that I think he's more likely to actually initiate it.
Oh, I see what you're
also,
saying.
The United States does have the military advantage in this, and so.
Do you believe that North Korea actually has a nuke that can reach New York City and blow us up?
I don't know, man.
I don't think they do.
No, they definitely
I'd be
don't.
Willing to take that chance.
Yeah.
I really don't think
they maybe
do.
West Coast.
Sacramento's a little more trouble.
Fuck yeah.
I don't even think the West
Coast.
There's
a lot of listeners there. I mean,
they haven't
not
proven
good.
They can do anything except for, like, Japan.
Well, and that's the scary thing, is that
do we have a lot of
Trump,
listeners in Japan?
Unlike previous. Yeah.
Apologies, Japan. We do have listeners out there. Shout out JJ Wokrat. I know a listener.
Get out while you can, JJ.
Yeah. Hey, JJ. Yeah, come hang out with us at Ivan Ramen. It's run by a white guy.
You might want to get out of Japan.
That was on the Lost.
Oh, yeah, it's on Lost. That was an amazing callback to
what was not recording.
Yeah. We'll talk about it now.
Well, this is what I will say. Japan, JJ Wokrat, you're on the. You have to tell us if you can see a nuke flying over on its way to us.
Ensus. Last act before you go, Ensus.
No, it'll skip them and hit California.
Yeah.
So what? So then, is he with the back to the rational thing? Where does that go?
So if the rational thing is like it's a little bit of a slippery slope because on the one hand, I think we talked about this in the Lost recording. It's a useful construct. Yeah. Oh, never forget. It was a useful construct just to help us be like, okay, let's suppose he's rational, so that then we can go on and study other things like would he fire first. Would he be responsive to sanctions? Who might he be trying to keep happy? Like, we can at least do something.
Right.
But if he's not rational, then we're sort of, as you said, it's a clever strategy because it's like, well, no one knows what he's going to do. It's a moving target, so why bother thinking about it?
Right. You can't, there's no way to study, like, it's like in markets or something. If it's not rational, there's no way to study it, right?
Exactly. And the only thing I can say about it is that we're limited in understanding what he's truly rational because we don't know the information that he has. And that's necessary to understand whether what someone is doing is rational, which is like, given the information I have right now, choice A makes me better off. Choice B makes me worse off. If I choose choice A, that makes me rational. If I choose choice B, that makes me irrational. Things that might look irrational from our perspective that Kim Jong-un is doing might be totally rational given the information that he's got.
Right.
And so if he genuinely thinks the United States is a threat to his survival in office, then he's being 100% rational by threatening us, right?
Yeah.
And which is the most rational place for him to nuke, do we think? No.
So I was New York? Thinking. I was like D.C.? I don't know.
Because if he nukes
York,
a blue
probably.
State, maybe Trump
Hawaii,
will fly back.
Hawaii, obviously, right?
Hawaii? Oh, yeah.
Apologies, Hawaii. But.
Well, we're just crafting the strategy for him. But it's probably like an expected value, like probability you'd hit the thing.
Right, he should go with where
harm.
He might hit.
Yeah. Maybe San Francisco.
Take, like, when you're playing, like, skee ball, don't go for the 100.
Yeah, exactly.
Go for the 10.
Yeah,
just get some points
maybe
on the board.
Maybe we're looking at, like, West Alaska. I don't know.
West Alaska is that 10.
Hopefully no one is still listening.
Sarah Palin, like, territory.
Well, you know, because it's key for him. Because if he fires and it's a total dud, like, it just goes up in the air and just, like, disintegrates.
Yeah, which is what's going to happen.
He's totally fucked.
I mean, the only thing I can...
I do not believe that he has the capability to hit the United
I'm coming back
States.
Around on you on this. Yeah.
He hasn't proven it at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you want
to...
Bigger button, baby!
Here's the question. How do we even know that our nukes work if we haven't tested them?
Well, since? Ask the Japanese. I mean.
Well, if we... I'm so sorry. Who's your Japanese listener? He's gone. He's gone.
JJ Wokrat. I mean, he's in Canada.
That was atomic.
Yeah, okay. He'll be fine.
So where do we nuke if we nuke them? Not the ski place where I went, because that's, first of all, it's
where's
in
China. Where's the liquor factory? You don't want to do that. We know there's good liquor there.
Yeah, you got a nice...
Yeah, the liquor's nice.
His palace, I guess.
I assume I assume we would try to hit the spot that would kill the least amount of people, actually. That would
but
be.
You
want to
kill
do
him, don't you?
Well, I think our military
well,
plan...
Well, wait, a nuke is going to kill a shit ton of people.
Yeah. Right.
There's no least amount of people
do
with
you,
a nuke.
What about... Here's what I think is more likely, is like the U.S. does a first attack, but it's like...
Not nuke,
drone,
it's conventional.
Yeah.
I think
I don't know, because then you provoke him into... If you don't kill him, then you're in
well,
trouble.
That's the thing, is you do that sooner than later,
but why not like an Osama bin Laden
like
mission?
Like a specific...
It's really hard to like... To get in there.
To get to
like, we have such... our intel's really not good there, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's really, really hard to, like... You can't blend in.
I knew someone who's...
That's like, my bit.
It's really... It's, you know...
Like, get a bunch of Chinese people and Japanese people to look North Korean.
It's way easier...
Can't we find South Koreans?
Aren't there Asian Americans in the military?
Yeah. In America, there are.
Yeah.
So...
we have a much deeper
use
bench
all the Asian
in,
Americans
like, Arabic...
In South Korea.
Arabic speaking and, like, even using the Israelis to get in the Middle Eastern stuff.
Just
but, like,
go to a bunch
Korea.
Of sushi restaurants. Yeah.
I like how Cap thinks the number one problem is finding Asian people.
Yeah.
No, in our intelligence
there's a lot of them.
And getting
I'm sure
in.
We have them.
We do, but... It's not, like, easy to blend in with a North Korean.
I know that Korean. We do. We're not even sure.
It's hard to blend in North Korea. It's not, like...
Not for Koreans!
Oh, my God. Okay.
Put on a hat.
How did they get to the country? These people are.
I almost skied in on accident. You can get there from the other side.
I mean, you should contact the CIA.
Is their surveillance equipment babyface. So good that they could tell if we just wandered in?
There's a whole other border.
I mean, we can. Do we have any volunteers for this mission?
No, not
any
me.
Of our.
All right, that's. Should we get to the news?
I thought, have we resolved the problem?
We haven't resolved anything.
Well, let's go around and say what's the best course of action. I say pre-nuke. Just
what's pre-nuke?
Just nuke, just to start it off.
So a pre-nuke is a nuke.
A pre-nuke is a nuke.
Strike first, nuke.
You think Trump should nuke North Korea?
No, I think Mad Dog Mattis shouldn't nuke North Korea. No, I don't get it.
Yeah, okay.
No, I don't think we should nuke North Korea. I think they're going to go away. I think you just, I don't know. I don't know.
I vote no nuke. And I vote we get back to building bomb shelters in our homes and doing bomb drills because those are fun.
There were some good jingles that came out of that.
Yeah, I had a bomb shelter in a house in Syracuse I shared with your brother.
Oh, it's a good place to party for college kids.
It's great for parties. Yeah. I know, it's a little sketchy, though. You bring girls down there in this day and age, you're probably not allowed.
Oh, yeah, not.
It's a little creepy.
Can we talk about how in several years there'll be a whole Me Too movement of bomb shelter? I'm predicting that for 2022.
I mean, we did bring a.
Bitcoin in that.
Yeah,
it's the sketchiest room you could be in. Is all I'll say.
They're
so I'm
going to
say
victims.
Don't nuke.
Oh my god. Okay.
I'm pro. Yeah. Oh, so I went. Yeah, crypto.
Well, let's get to the news.
Let's get to the news.
All right. Wait. Before we do, what to promote? What do you have?
Oh God, I have. These pieces on 538. You can check them out on North Korea.
In cryptocurrency.
Got some other stuff on 538 you can read. I have a personal piece out on something called the Cooper Square Review. It's at coopersquarereview.org, and it's about my decision to leave academia and go into this shit that I'm doing now, which we talked about in my first appearance. So if people want to read a written version of that story,
cool.
It's now out.
Listen to our pod again.
Listen to that again, yeah.
Back to us.
Trying to get page views over here.
There's secret messages if you play it backwards.
Yes.
And if you download it and
for
send it
for new listeners, go back. It was a great episode.
All right, let's get to the news.
Okay.
All right.
First news story of the week comes to us from NBC 11 in Atlanta. Kaplan, you a big fan?
It's my favorite news source.
Big watcher.
I love the weather girl.
Eyewitness
it's
News.
Excellent.
She's very fantastic.
She makes some great jokes. Banter.
Atlanta gym owner makes no apologies for no cop sign. A shocking and vulgar sign about police officers has been posted in front of a local business in Atlanta. The sign could be seen from the street with the curse words blurred out, but the message is clear. It says, no cops allowed. I think it says, no effing cops allowed.
What kind of store is it?
It's a gym.
Oh, right.
Okay, number one, I got to say, bad for business. Aren't cops the people who go to gyms the most?
Yeah, they need to stay to work out. But they have gyms at police precincts, I think. They have weights and stuff.
Oh, do they?
I've seen that on TV. No, and I've seen it in my local.
They have weights.
The 109, which is my local.
Where prison. Sometimes are.
Yeah, you're right. Prison. And also they have them in fire. I think firemen just work out.
Also, cops are really into CrossFit, firemen and cops. So I see them. That's where they're going now. So this gym guy, he knows he's not losing a lot of business. It's a clever political.
And maybe, gaining business from,
from like liberals or something.
Haters.
Or like Black Lives Matter. Like, who's he trying to attract? I don't know. Not having cops.
Does
in
Atlanta
his gym.
Have a cop? Crime problem?
I don't know.
Is that a hotbed of
Cops beating people or something like that?
Yeah,
I don't know. Probably.
I mean, but it will be ironic if this place gets robbed. And there's
he better stock up on his
guns. And if he calls a 911 or something, the cops are going to see this and they're going to send like the worst cop on the beat.
Sorry, we're not allowed to come.
Well, they'll send the schmuck who's hired because his uncle is a lieutenant, and they'll that'll be it. And you're
there's a real I don't know in China. The relationship with police officers is just totally different. I don't feel first of all, I don't think anyone would make a no cop sign. People don't necessarily hate cops or love cops.
I don't think they do anything. I think cops are seen as largely ineffective.
They're just benign.
Yeah.
Mm. Right?
But
they don't do anything.
That's how I experience them. I don't know if that's how Chinese people experience
But are there people who get treated poorly by the cops in China, a different...
Not by the cops, by the street police, by the Chengguan. But that's guys, basically homeless people and people selling stuff on the street.
Basically, if you look like you're a peasant, you might get some shit.
And if you're trying to sell something on the street.
Yeah.
Right.
Truthfully, I mean, people don't really...
Ouija guys?
They're a real, the serfs of society. I mean,
Yeah.
I don't think people even think about that when they think about cops. Do you?
No.
It's almost like the average person in society really separates.
Yeah.
Wait, that's an American thing to be. I mean,
to hate cops.
I mean, I was on top of this trend. You know,
you hated cops early.
Well, no, but
when I hated cops before.
This is my most like white.
Well, you had a no cop sign on your backpack.
Well, basically, my best white privilege story I could think of is when I was in high school and I was driving. We were in a car going down to Philly, and they I used to call him Allentown. Later, I called him the Allentown Tyler Sparks. My friend Troy Carlson, shout out. He just we were like next to a cop car. We pulled up, and he like pulls out his window and just yells, "Fuck you, pigs!" And then we just drive off, and the cop. They pull you over when you do that.
They do?
Yes. But you know what? He just made us, he just like basically gave us a talking to and
just made us
apologize.
Warning.
And like, you know, if I was black or something, what the hell would happen to me?
Yeah, you'd be in jail.
So, you know, but I don't actually hate cops. I love cops. Just want to get that on record.
I love cops and I want them to come to my home during emergencies, please.
Yeah. I want them to keep Long Island City clean.
My only real experience in China was when like, I was like, the idea was the cops should have been on my side. Like, people would steal something or rob our store or rob our office, and then we'd call the cops, and they kind of just shrugged their shoulders like, what do you expect us to do? We can't do anything about this.
Yeah.
They did want to arrest one guy and put him in jail.
Do you have
for
to tip off? Like, if you would have given a tip to the cops or something? Like
not in China.
No.
I don't think
no,
that.
No, it's not like, yeah. Maybe it used to be, but.
I think, yeah, maybe in some places.
Because, like,
really
in Mexico,
work, so.
If you get, like, pulled over, you know, you get, like, arrested.
They expect the bribe.
In
China, no.
My only China cop, direct China cop experience, two of them actually. One was I studied abroad in Beijing in 2002 and my dog died and I was standing in the street crying and two police officers were like, "Are you okay?" So that's
a very nice
white women privilege. I think that I enjoyed
there. Did they give you the word for beautiful young girl or what is the word?
Meinu?
Like,
they call you Meinu?
Yeah. Meinu.
They offer comfort, a shoulder to cry on.
Yeah. I mean, like a Beijing accent, like, "Marinar." Yeah. But the other one was when I was working at Cirque, the cops would raid it every now and again.
When you were doing circus.
At Chinese Circus, yeah.
Another old podcast.
Yeah, another podcast. They would come and we'd get in big trouble for, one, working without performer visa, so we all had to hide in the roof, like Anne Frank style.
Whoa.
And two.
Even the little people?
No, just the
because you could fit double.
You could pose a diary while you're
hiding. No, but I would like, just like, it'd be like, "Andrea, the cops are here." Like, climb the ladder. I'd be like, "Okay."
For real?
Yeah.
July 12th. Because
I didn't have a performer visa.
Father
and, like,
says.
Yeah. I kept a long diary. Yeah. It's coming out soon. And then the other one was we would dance with pasties because it was burlesque, which are just like little round. And
yeah,
so we got
all know pasties around.
They had a big
we all know
pasties around here. Yeah. We got a big write up that was like, "No more coins on the nipples."
Coins.
Yeah, that was their translation. Like, we had to wear shirts, not coins.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, pasties doesn't translate.
I
don't know that.
Translate. Yeah.
Kaplan is like immediately confused. Coin.
Big coin.
Yeah, that's totally. I went to a pasties for peace party once. It was. I'm dating myself a little here.
Did it work? Obviously,
it was a bunch of girls on a rooftop in pasties.
Was it the 60s? What are you talking about?
They were raising money for like MoveOn.org to protest the Iraq War, and they thought like,
"Oh, you are dating yourself."
Fantastic party.
A simpler time back when all we had to worry about was
Iraq.
MoveOn.org.
Do you have any? It was Saddam Rash. No. Move on.
Yeah.
Next story. Oh, from the Shanghaiist. We're keeping
Hell
it in
yes.
China.
Yeah.
Everyone's favorite herbal tea brand. Everyone's favorite.
Everyone's favorite.
Yeah.
Wang Lao Ji.
Okay.
Wang Lao Ji.
Wang Lao Ji.
Is now claiming that its extremely popular beverage can extend the life of its customers by 10%. A claim that many netizens find it hard to swallow. Get it? Critics note that this claim was being based off an experiment performed on 576 rats, not human beings.
That's a lot of
rats
drink
tea? Yeah.
These rats do.
Yeah, they're very civilized. British rats.
Thumb out.
Yeah, they won't drink iced tea. They're like snobs.
Pinky out, excuse me. Meanwhile, netizens.
What kind of Neanderthal are you?
Netizens have also pointed out that the Wang Lao Ji contains quite a large amount of sugar, not a diet that is typically associated with living an extraordinarily long life. Okay, my first opinion of this is, who needs the last 10% of your life anyway?
Well, it depends how long you're talking about.
I mean, if it extends the middle good part.
Right. I think it extends the end.
Then you don't want that.
Well, if your average expectancy is like 80,
especially
10% is 8
like,
years, you get to 88.
Tea every day.
It's big. I'll take 88.
80 to 88 is not bad. 90 to 98 is not what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's really bad, I think.
No offense.
Yeah, but you know,
I know
old
one,
listeners.
Yeah.
But 50 to 55, you'll take that. I mean, 40, I'll take, if you get me to 44, I'll
Here's
take that
the
right
question,
now.
Though, is if it, like, you get cancer and you're going to die at 45, does it give you a little push to 47?
That's when it's time to double down on the tea.
That's the 10%. Is it bad that my main problem with that article is the word netizen? I know they use it a lot in China.
I noticed that too.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Do they
it's
only
just citizens
use,
on the internet.
I think it's supposed to be citizen.
Right. Is that a Chinese term?
It's a Chinese thing. They
is it only in China?
It refers
that?
To like the people who like clamor on Weibo and WeChat.
But this Shanghai, these aren't Chinese people. They're like New York hipsters
they
who live in Shanghai.
They still call it that. Yeah, it's terrible.
But you have
I just, there's no need for it.
I think you're onto something, though. They need to
Andrea dislikes netizens more than she dislikes Kim Jong-un, actually.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, I have like,
more
Kim Jong-un
negative things.
Rational.
That's a good
brave.
Great dictator. But the dictators could make claims like this about extending your life, but it's more of the quality. Like, I don't want to get, like, I found a nose hair today. I'm like, what's going on? I'm 40. I want a thing that's going to make me not age.
You never had a nose hair before?
I never noticed it before.
Oh.
On the top of your nose? Or
it's like coming out. I'm like, what do you do? I don't even know how to cut it.
You pull it.
You get a tweezer. You pull it? I'm terrified.
You kill yourself.
I'm just going to cut my nose off trying to shave.
Stop drinking tea.
Put the razor in the tit.
Have you guys ever heard of Power Balance? This same thing happened
those
in America.
Those, like, bands they put around you?
There were these wristbands that Americans were wearing, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And this company got, and it was supposed to extend your life. But it had no, so then it got such a popular, the company became so popular. The reason why I heard about it is because they bought the Sacramento Kings Arena. They bought named the basketball arena Power Balance Pavilion or whatever.
Yeah, there's your problem with the Kings.
It lasted for like 6 months, and then it came out that it was all bullshit, like this Wang Lao GT.
What was the mechanism by which these wristbands were supposed to extend
your
life?
They said that it somehow, your pulse from your wrist, and that was the end of it. It was like, it controls your pulse, and so you live longer. And then it came out.
I know
no
a
science.
Lot of people in New York. I didn't know it was a worldwide thing. A lot of people in New York were wearing them. They would like.
I've
more
never
than
seen
more,
such a thing. It's an Ayurvedic thing that you'll have a finite number of breaths, and so people who breathe slower live longer. This is like.
All right.
The same thing.
I'll
like,
try that.
Your
that
pulse.
Might affect
yeah.
my nose hairs.
I'm in.
That's why you guys couldn't re-sign Isaiah Thomas.
I like 10%. That's a solid claim. Like.
Yeah, 10% good. If you said 5%, who cares?
Well, it's also
20%. Yeah, it sounds unrealistic.
It's also genius because you never know the counterfactual, which is like someone died at 63, and you're like, would they have died 10%?
57 and
yeah,
a half,
whatever that is. Yeah.
I mean, it depends.
There's
I
no
guess what the cause of death was too.
Yeah.
Like they hit by a car, and unless they were drinking the tea, and instead of they're like, I'm not gonna drink tea today. I'm gonna go walk in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Or I'm gonna climb onto a building and jump. I mean,
that's true.
Yeah. So there's a lot in statistics,
lot of,
right?
Yeah.
Final news story of the week. Also from China, this story. Three in a row, all China stories.
I love it.
Keeping it local.
Yeah.
Imagine that. China's Tiangong number one space station has been completely out of control for months now, flying around in outer space, I assume. And space agencies from all over the world are expecting it to come crashing down to Earth in early 2018. Unfortunately, nobody knows exactly when or where this massive hunk of space junk will land.
I like
that.
Unfortunately, it was like as if this is a positive news story, and then like, but here's the twist.
Yeah,
we got good news and bad news.
Space station is wildly out of control.
Yeah,
where do you want it to land? I think we should. I feel like
it could take out Rocket Man.
I was gonna say, one step ahead of me there.
Or Trump, either one.
Land on the North Korean palace.
Yeah.
He would spin it. That was like he controlled the space station. He brought the Chinese space station down.
You're right.
I don't know.
I feel like it could land on him.
What is the Chinese, like, how is their space program? We don't hear a lot about it here.
The Chinese, it's very good. Until now.
Are they going to get to Mars? Are they going to?
Yeah. No, I'm not kidding.
I think they're winning the whole space wars at the moment.
What? We've dropped out. Are we even still sending people to space?
The thing I find interesting is.
No.
No, we
might be starting again, I think.
No, we work with Russia, actually, because we don't have enough money to, like, do it on our own now. So we're actually up
with the cosmonauts.
Yeah, well, I have to preface this by saying that most of my knowledge of space program is books I read to Teddy, but they're books that were like written about 10 years ago.
Okay.
So like it's like in 2005 a ship's going up to Pluto. Like it's telling me what happened. Like I never learned.
It'll be like
2015 this satellite will be in this moon of Jupiter, and so it talks about in the book how we're with Russians, at least we were. I don't know. Is that
well? What I read Chinese about the space program is literally what I just read.
Yeah,
that's the most I've read in 10 years.
Yeah, I don't know much apart from.
So based off that,
has there been a female astronaut yet? No,
I don't think so.
That has not crashed.
No, China. Sorry, go on.
I think the one. Oh, in China, I don't know.
I doubt it.
The one. Okay, I think top 10. You got to go number one, North Korea, where we want it to land.
Okay.
On, I guess Putin. Oh no! Or
what? Saudi Arabia. What's his name?
The Saudi Arabian guy?
Are they going to come after us if we just keep naming these people?
No, we can, as long as we don't name anyone in China.
Okay.
We're good. I don't know. What do we think about the WikiLeaks guy? Is he still alive?
I think I'm
fine. He doesn't need to die.
Okay, I'm going to go. The WikiLeaks guy helped Trump get elected, if that sways your opinion.
All right, fuck him. Yeah.
He was very much, he leaked all of Hillary's stuff.
Oh, right.
He's saying that like this is like news breaks to.
No,
it was to me just
it
now.
It is to her. Because she said she was pro, whatever.
I'm too busy reading about North Korea. I don't know what's going on anywhere.
That's where I would go with. And then maybe Chapo, I guess. El Chapo, whatever. If he's still out there. I don't really know. Those are my top three places where I want this asteroid
to
land.
I'm trying to think
land.
If there's like a non-human place it could land that would be instructive. Like, is there anything that we're just sort of sick of that we want to like have go down? Like some
any rival events.
Sick out like Madison Square Garden or...
Any ints rival.
If anyone out there is trying to make...
Georgetown campus.
LaGuardia Airport more... kind of sucks. You know what I mean? Like, we could just...
Yeah.
If it has to hit
but that's
somewhere.
My that's in Queens. I'm not really looking for...
Any rival owner of the... I own Tron coin... Bitcoin, so any rival owner.
But do we know it's going to cause death and destruction?
Like, yeah, I mean, how big is this thing?
Like, we don't really, I mean, because it could be cool. Like,
are there
a thing where you're like, oh, let's go look at the viewing of
a
satellite?
Yeah, it's like a really like, beautiful starry night.
It's
you
a
know?
Space station, right? Are there other are people in it right
well,
now that are just
a bunch
out of control flying through outer space?
I don't know. That's be a good movie
a
one
Chinese
day.
Chinese space station being out of control in space is the least surprising thing I've ever heard. Just to be quite clear about this. And I also like that they were like, this happened months ago. And, like, the article, like, no one knows about this.
Well, yeah, it probably took them a long time to, like Houston, like, they're trying to communicate to...
What's the Houston?
Yeah. How do you say Houston? We have a problem. Woman, yo, Wenty.
Well, yo, Wenty!
Yeah.
They're probably still talking to Houston because Yao Ming's still there.
Oh. Yeah.
So, everybody.
Is Yao in charge of the space program? He should be.
He's tall
Jason
enough.
Jason McGrady's in charge.
Yeah. He's closest to space. All right, on that fantastic joke, let's get out of here. Cap.
Bye.
Andrea, thanks for doing it.
Thanks for having me.
Come back anytime.
I hope the world hasn't ended.
If we're still alive, Kep, what should we do?
I'm going to go home. I'm going to go make some digital kids.
There we go.
And then I'm going to get lost.
All right, get lost.
I bombed Korea every night. My engine sank into the salty sky. I didn't know if I would live or die. I bombed Korea every night. I bombed Korea every night. I bombed Korea every night. Red flowers bursting down below us. Those people didn't even know us. We didn't know if we would live or die. We didn't know if it was wrong or right. I bombed Korea every night. And so I sit here at this bar. I'm not a hero, I'm not a movie star. I've got my beer, I've got my stories to tell. But they won't tell you what it's like in hell. Red flowers bursting down below us. Those people didn't even know. Every night.